Our second scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 10 to 17. This is Jesus and the crowd feeding the 5,000. On their return, the apostles told Jesus all they had done. He took with him and withdrew privately to a city called Bethsaida. When the crowds found out about it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed to be cured. The day was drawing to a close, and the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so that they may go to the surrounding villages and countryside to lodge and get provisions, for we are here in a deserted place." But Jesus said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go out and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each." They did so and made them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the crowd. And all ate and were filled. And there was leftover, and the leftover was gathered up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Well, it has been about 12 months since I last preached here at Church of the Roses. Wow, has my life changed in the last 9 months? About this time last year, Liz and I were talking about the plans we had for 2018. One of my key construction employees, TJ Ramey, who'd worked for me for about 10 years, had gotten his contractor's license, and he was planning on starting his own construction business by the end of the summer of 2017. TJ's been a key employee for many years, and especially since I started working full-time at Westminster Woods as the executive director there. His abilities to help me run my construction business enabled me to cut back to just 15 to 20 hours a week working for myself, along with my 40 plus hours at Westminster Woods. But with TJ's leaving, the fact that I was really kind of tired of working 60 plus hours a week, I thought that 2018 would be a good year to kind of wind down my business. My initial plan was to ease out of my business, was to have my crew finish up a few promised construction projects that I had told clients I would do for them. And as I worked with my employees to help them find new jobs, I would also have them help me do some minor remodeling on our house. I designed and built our house about 27 years ago, and some of the things were showing some wear. Our kitchen cabinets and countertops were a bit tired. Our carpeting was well due replacing, well past its looking spiffy. The interior of the house totally needed to be repainted, and I knew a new roof and rain gutters were only a few years off. So I had the perfect strategy to end 32 years of self-employment, finish what I had promised, and use my own house as fill-in work until my crew had found new construction jobs. Brilliant idea, or so I thought. And then the October fires came, and life was turned upside down. Not only did Liz and I lose our house in the fire, but 13 of my former construction clients who also lost their homes that I had built or remodeled called me to say, "Hey, Chris, we'd love to have you rebuild our house. Can you help us out?" So much for winding down my construction business. Not only had Liz and I lost our house, but I lost most of my construction tools in the fire as well, tools that I'd spent the last 40 or so years accumulating. We escaped the fire with my work van, Liz's car, my computer, some important papers, and the clothes we were wearing. John Lennon, in his song Imagine, has the lyric, "Imagine no possessions. It isn't hard to do." Well, there was no imagining on our part. Liz and I homeless and almost possessionless. Now, I share that story not to gain your sympathy, for as painful a time as it is also an incredibly freeing experience. It really puts life in perspective. When we fled our house at 2 a.m, we came here to church. At that time of the morning, we drove by the Betts building, thinking it would be open as an evacuation center. It wasn't open yet. We didn't know that Finley Center was an evacuation center, so we came here to our second home. And I just happened to have a key to the building. Ray Alden and his daughter were not far behind Liz and I, and as we drove past the Lucky's parking lot, there were dozens of people sitting in their cars and standing out in the parking lot. It wasn't long after I arrived that I went across the street and invited anyone who wanted to come over to the church. I explained that we had bathrooms, water, couches to sleep on, and Wi-Fi. Bowen Hall quickly became a place of refuge, and it continued to be so for many days. So many of the people who found refuge here were not members here at the church. They had no affiliation, no connection whatsoever. They simply needed a place to go. So we meet up with Jesus this week in our reading from Luke, the story of the feeding of the 5,000. This is one of the few stories in the New Testament that appears in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They each have a slightly different take on the story. But one of the reasons I found myself drawn to the Luke passage is that he and Mark's versions are the only ones where Jesus tells his disciples to break the group of 5,000 into smaller groups of 50 or so. I think that's a critical part of the story, but I want to come back to that. I've read that story of the feeding of 5,000 many, many times. I first remember the story being told to me as a young child, and in my childhood memory of that story, Jesus miraculously, single-handedly, turns the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish into thousands of fish and loaves. And yet, as we read in the story, that is not what happened. Luke said, "And taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus looked up to heaven and blessed and broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the crowd. And all ate and were filled, and what was left over was gathered up, 12 baskets of broken pieces." There was more than enough. How did that happen? I think that part of the key to this story is the fact that Jesus broke the crowd into those groups of 50 or so. Just think about a time when you were in a huge group of people. The only people you know are the ones that you came with. You may be your family or some friends. Now, if you're like me, you get a bit overwhelmed in huge crowds, especially in a group of strangers. But when that giant crowd is broken down into smaller, a more manageable size, people get to know one another better. Now, that's the genius of small groups. Now, my guess is that in the groups of 50 or so, there were probably many families were combined into one group to share the meal. The kids in one family made friends with kids from the other families, and the parents found some commonalities as well. People who had traveled alone to hear Jesus were included as part of the groups. And everyone who was there came to hear Jesus, and they wanted to talk about Jesus and what he had spoken to them about. In those smaller groups, there were no doubt some who had brought food. If those mothers were anything like my mom, they didn't travel anywhere without some food. You know, as my mom used to say, just in case. I'm not sure what the serious problem could have been when we wouldn't have had food, but she had it just in case. My mother was always prepared. Her purse was as large as a small suitcase. She packed so much stuff in that purse, she was encouraged by many of her friends to go on the TV show, Let's Make a Deal. And sure enough, she was selected to go on the show. Like my mom, my guess is many of those people gathered who came to hear Jesus speak probably had more than enough to feed their families. And by breaking them into smaller groups, the moms felt more comfortable sharing it with the other people there. And that's exactly what we did as a church during the fires. We couldn't take in everyone in Santa Rosa who needed refuge, but we extended a helping hand to those who needed it. I remember one of the groups that came into the church that night, there was three couples from Arizona. These young families were spending the last night of their vacation in Glen Ellen at a bed and breakfast that they had been staying at. The fire was threatening Glen Ellen, as we well know, and they had to flee their Airbnb in the middle of the night. All six of them somehow squeezed into their small rental car, and they somehow ended up in the Lucky's parking lot right across the street. When I first invited them to come over to the church, they were a bit apprehensive. But after the second invite, they came over. They spent most of their day with us on Monday, joined us in our meals, and were so thankful when they left for the San Francisco airport in the late afternoon. We won't ever see them again, but they won't ever forget us. It is in those moments of pain and grief and uncertainty that Jesus shines the brightest in this world, where we're willing to forget about our predicament and focus on the community we find ourselves in. We are at our best as people. Jesus set the example. We just have to remember the lessons that he taught us. Our reading from 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Well, tents were destroyed, houses were burned, lives were dramatically altered. Whether you lost your home or not in the fire, your life is not the same as a result of it. But in spite of our losses, we have more than enough. Our pastor, Cindy Alloway, has invited those of us who lost our homes in the fire to meet with one another. We've come together on a number of times to share our stories, our losses, our pain, our recovery. I've found great strength in those gatherings. I've been amazed at not only Cindy's care for each of us, but for all of you that have supported us during the many, many challenging times that we've been through. We've received so much from all of you. Thank you. In her book, The Five Gifts, Dr. Lori Nadal writes about discovering hope, healing, and strength when disaster strikes. Dr. Nadal lost her home in Hurricane Sandy and offers some powerful advice on how to rebuild your life after major trauma. And her advice is not just for people who lost their homes in disasters, but for anyone who has suffered a major loss of any kind in their life. The loss of a loved one, the loss of one's health or a family member's health, losing a job or having to alter your lifestyle in some unplanned and unpredicted way. These are situations that we don't choose for ourselves, but are rather thrust upon us in our life. Times when we question whether we have enough to get through the trauma we are facing or not. Dr. Nadal writes, "After a violent or unexpected event, Nothing returns to where it was before. Like it or not, we are forced to change. Some of us don't like that very much, so much that just thinking about it is frightening. Although the fear of change is often more painful than the change itself. Dr. Nadal goes on to say, in less extraordinary times, it's easy to hold on to the illusion that we can control change. Nothing stays the same, no matter how hard we try to cling to the status quo as we remember it. The psychiatrist and author Dr. Alex Patakos said it another way. You can change without growing, but you cannot grow without changing. In the story of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus, in his blessing of the food and his prayer to God, challenges those gathered to reach into their hearts and put their trust and faith in God. Jesus simply prayed, and by doing so, encouraged everyone gathered to be a part of the miracle. It was in the collective sharing that brought about the miracle. There was more than enough. In the same way, Jesus reminds all of us that we have more than enough when we're willing to share not only our food and possessions, but when we share our lives with one another. When we're willing to take the risk and open our doors, our hearts and our minds to things we're not expecting and not ready for. We have all experienced some sort of loss in our lives. Some of that loss has no doubt been tragic and probably unexpected. We need to be willing to share our stories of recovery, because it's when we share our life stories that those who hear our stories gain insight to not only how they can survive life's tragedies, but thrive in them. For many years, Church of the Roses went to Tijuana, Mexico, to build houses for some of the needy people of Mexico. We built very small, very basic houses for the Mexican families. Our church groups built the homes alongside the family who was going to live there. And it was a great experience, not only for this Mexican family who would occupy the house, who would own the house, but for those of us who went and worked on the building of the house. The building was hard, physical labor. It was dirty work, exhausting work. And yet when we returned to our primitive campsite each night that we called home, there was a sense of community and camaraderie that I have only experienced on those trips. We took almost nothing with us. We camped in tents on a very barren, dry piece of land. Our showers at night were cold and from a bucket of water. But the 11 to 30 of us that went on those trips each year accomplished a miracle each time we went. We built a house for people who needed it desperately. But equally important, we built a community like no other. We shared all that we did and all that we had. We all shared in the cooking of the meals and reveled in our dinner conversations. We shared our stories around the campfire each night. We didn't have much, but we had more than enough. We didn't live from a sense of scarcity, but rather a sense of abundance. Those were life-changing trips, not only for the Mexican family who participated and got the house, but for all of those who went. We came back transformed people. But if you really think about it, we all have more than enough when we put our trust and faith in God and not in worldly things. We all have more than enough when we follow the lead of Jesus and find ourselves at our best when we live in community together sharing what we have and giving what we no longer need to those who need it. We all have more than enough when we let the Holy Spirit work through us by reaching out and inviting those that we don't know to join in our community. Even in life's greatest loss and tragedy, we have more than enough. And we need to remind ourselves to share it with one another and with all of God's people. Amen.